Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Well, it's me, it's Mr. FSP. Welcome everybody to Fantasy Sports and Politics live edition on Saturday, May the 9th. It's hard to believe we're already 9 days into the month of May. And a lot of information is floating around and stuff like that, and a lot of injuries and stuff. I mean, it's just amazing what's going on, in my opinion. So, with that amazing out of the way, I'm going to bring in my co-host, JTATM Money, just to say hi, and then we'll get back to the show. Say hi, JT.
Hi.
All right. JT is down. He's sleepy. He's tired. He's had a long work week. And now he has to get on the air with me and try to do something. Well, hopefully, I can wake the old man up. Because on this episode of FSP, he and I are going to talk about the scandal known as Bradygate. Because Jerry wasn't able to get on the show this past Thursday and discuss the situation when Tom Brady gave his remark, because not remarks, but remark, about Bradygate when he was at Salem State. Did he lie and continue to lie about his involvement in the Deflate Gate scandal? I mean, we're going to talk about it. In my opinion, I think if he is lying, he's A-Rod, Ryan Braun, and more. I really think so. Because he's the golden boy, Mr. Untouchable, Mr. Unflappable, Mr. Tuck Rule. That's the reason why the Patriots went to that first Super Bowl that he won. Also discuss the NBA playoffs. Now, it's kind of exciting to me because the young blood, as I have coined them, the teams are, let's say, young and not really tested. Only really tested team in the playoffs that's a young team, in my opinion, Chicago Bulls. Everyone else remaining in the NBA playoffs are relatively young. And the future, the NBA. We're going to talk about some of those matchups. But more importantly, I want to talk about a real fight. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm quite sure it's going to be a real fight that everyone can enjoy. And they're going to get to see it tonight on not on pay-per-view for $100, but in the confines of their own home if they have a subscription to HBO. And I'm talking about James Kirkland versus Canelo Alvarez. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got that a whole bunch more on the way. But to wake Jerry up, and to get the phone lines buzzing, we're going to talk about boxing first.
All right.
I'm
one wake now, my man.
I know you are.
I couldn't delay into you for this one. Yes, sir.
Can I get phone number out? The phone number is 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. If you want to jump in on the conversation. Now, I invited some people, Clifton, Otis Nixon, Jr., on the show. I've invited Mike Knox, a.k.a. Mike Pierman, to the show to discuss the Pac Floyd fight in brief, because it's done and over with, and to speak about real fight that we're going to see tonight. So, JT, the floor is yours. I'll allow you to have your say. Take it away.
All right. I'm not going to talk about, because I want to talk about last week, boxing. Because we got in a discussion about who was the better fighter. And obviously, it proved out just like I said it would. But people were expecting a thriller in Manila, and that wasn't going to happen. Anybody that had any kind of boxing sense and knew that wasn't going to happen. So, if you want to believe it or not, you got what you got, because the fact is, he was a better fighter. Plain and simple.
He wasn't the better fighter. He was not the better fighter. Let's clarify that. Listen.
Oh, but wait a minute. You told me the floor is mine. Didn't you not say that? Did you not say that? Okay. I just want to make that. I just want to clarify that. You did say the floor is mine. I waited till you finished. Now it's my turn.
Okay,
now, Mr. Floyd Mayweather said what he was going to do, and he did it. People who were in the Pacquiao corner thought that Pacquiao was, whatever you want to call him, a better fighter, better boxer, whatever way you want to coin it, he wasn't. And Floyd Mayweather took part. You're not going to get last year, Floyd, because that's not the way Mayweather go. You thought Pacquiao would pepper him with a bunch of punches, but Floyd Mayweather's defense is too good. Listen, and you're not listening, but that's okay, because I said a few remarks on Facebook, and I had it happen to agree with Mac with this. Whether you want to call it, and that's why I preface it as saying whether you want to call it a better fighter or boxer, it's a difference. The bottom line is this. Floyd Mayweather said he's not going to be defeated by Manny Pacquiao. And everybody in God's country, including his country, meaning Pacquiao's country, was trying to convince themselves that Floyd Mayweather was going to win that fight. They were just hoping on hope, because the dislike of Floyd Mayweather and the disbelief or ignorance that a Pacquiao would be able to beat Floyd Mayweather. And they're pissed off at Mayweather because the fight wasn't what they thought it was going to be. When, like I said, if you had watched Floyd Mayweather's fight leading up to that fight, you knew exactly what it was going to be. So anybody that knew and watched Floyd Mayweather previously in fights knew that it wasn't going to be a thrill in Manila. It wasn't going to be one of these exciting fights where you see guys in the middle of the ring trading punches with each other. that wasn't going to happen. And regardless of whether, I'll be done after this. Regardless if you like Floyd Mayweather or not, and most people are pissed off because it wasn't an exciting fight, you should be pissed off at Pacquiao because he hid an injury to everyone in God's country. And you know why? Because it was a big payday. A big payday. So rather than pissed off at Floyd Mayweather, you should be pissed off, you Pacquiao fans, at Manny Pacquiao, because he deceived the hell out of you, looked at money, and ran. Thank you.
Okay, now, I got two calls on the line, and I believe it's Clarence, and I believe it's Mike. Not my cousin Mike, but Mike Knox, a.k.a. Version 1, a.k.a. Mike Pyramid, a.k.a. I beat you in Madden, and now you're trying to come back on my show, a.k.a. you know, he's a Pac hater, a.k.a. Floyd One. Now, before I let these two gentlemen talk, because I did call them out on the show, on the page and all that, I'm going to respond to you, Jerry. And I already know what Mike's thoughts are, so I'm going to save him for last. I'm going to have Clarence get on the mic after I talk. Now, here's the deal, Jerry. If you want to classify yourself as the greatest of all time, and I know this is a redundant or a repetitive statement by people that felt Floyd didn't fight.
You're grasping at straws and you're looking for excuses.
No,
I'm listening, but I can see what you're doing. But go ahead.
The deal is this: Floyd is an excellent boxer. Excellent. You can't take that away from him. Extremely gifted defensive boxer. However, and I didn't pay for it, so I'm going to tell you right now, those who paid for it, they got upset because they couldn't get it because the carrier didn't work, or they got it and was disappointed. You know, I too agree with you. That's their problem. But I don't think it's blame Pacquiao time. I really don't. Because
hell yeah.
Pacquiao took
the man in the
ring. Hey, old man, go back
to the ring.
Listen. Pac-Man kept coming forward. It wasn't like Pac was the one holding and headlocked their thing. It's not like Pacquiao was the one that wasn't trying to hit him. Listen,
am I on hold?
Is quick. No, you're not on hold, but I'm going to put you on hold. It's not like Pacquiao did not try to hit him. Floyd is just quick. Floyd can get anything out. You know, I'll mute you, Mike. It's just Floyd is a quicker fighter, and he used his reach. He did what he was supposed to do in order to win the fight. He used his reach, he used his quickness to outmaneuver Pac-Man.
What you're saying is a joke. What you're saying is a joke. You're a joke.
Quiet, please. So,
you're a joke.
He did what he was supposed to do to win. And I can't take that away from him because after the ninth round, I had Floyd win all the rounds from 9 through 12. So, you know, He did what he was supposed to do with the limit punches and bunches and the running and stuff. But that's his style. You can't knock his style if you are you know, criticizing him for winning the match because that's what he does. However, here's my bone of contention. If you're going to fight somebody and claim to be the best fighter in the world ever, fight him. Don't box him. You can box.
Let me ask you something. When you get into the ring, what's the bottom line going to do? Win the fight. Plain and simple.
I got that, and that's why I'm not knocking the fact that he won the fight.
Apparently,
he didn't win the fight. I didn't say he didn't win the fight. What I'm criticizing is the style in which he did it in a fight of this magnitude.
This style.
Mainly.
This style.
Mainly. Wait. Because I got to get Clarence in. You had your say. And Mike, you hold your horses because you're last. And I know you're going to say some crap. So I got my.
But I
got
to go last for it. Today is BDSR Network 1000. I have to have a little VIP card for the day.
Hey, you got, that's why you're last. You're bringing up the rear. It's like rap. You know, you leave the anchor for last, even though I don't agree with what you're going to say. But the my contention is, you know, Julio Cesar Chavez, Hagler, Hearns, all these guys, Zab Judah, even though he got knocked out in his career later on, Felix Trinidad, all these other cats, you know, got it. They have losses, but they fought. Rocky Marciano, 49-0.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to disconnect this phone call. If you just said Zab Judah is a better boxer than Floyd Mayweather.
No. I didn't say Zab Judah was better. I didn't say he was better. I just said
you're comparing him. All right, I'm gonna wait for my turn. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Take your note. But my point is, these people in their era were considered very, very good. And yes, they have losses. Some were
Floyd is
like B-Hop. Very defensive fighter. Sometimes he was not the most exciting fighter, but at times he did slug. With that being said, I understand Floyd's, you know,
no, you don't.
His pattern.
Not the way you're talking, you don't understand.
I disagree with the implementation of it. Even his father was yelling at him as to why he didn't come out there and prove the point that he is the best versus the so-called person that was going to put him in his place. And
not
he did
true.
in the sense of, you know, technique. But it is.
Man,
so
you are in such denial.
Because I don't know Clarence's thoughts on this. He might be with me or against me. Clarence, the floor is yours.
Okay. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. First, I want to say I think from what I'm hearing, I do witness some low key Floyd bashing going on, man. When you imply that Floyd didn't put on a fight, that's not what I saw. Because if you watch the fight, even when they were exchanging punches, Floyd was the dominant of the two. So every exciting moment in that fight, aside from the time when Manny stunned him, Floyd got the better of it. So any excitement that we did get, Floyd provided. So when people say that the fight was dull or anything, it wasn't because of Floyd. Floyd did everything that he was supposed to do and that he could do. He negated everything that Manny Pacquiao attempted to do. So I think that performance right there pretty much, I mean, it was brilliant for Floyd Mayweather. And then when you name people like Tommy Hearns, Julio Cesar Chavez, I think you named somebody else, Felix Trinidad. These are guys who in the biggest fights of their career, if not the biggest fight of their career, ended up knocked out. So it's like when you say that you wanted to see that from Floyd, and you're naming guys that were knocked out in their biggest fight, it's almost like, why should Floyd fight in that style when he sees what can happen if he fights that way? I mean, I think Floyd has mastered what it is that he does. And because he doesn't get hit, some people call him a boring fighter. Now, I'm not a fan of going full defense, but I'm not going to call him boring because of that. You know what I mean? In that fight against Manny Pacquiao, I saw him putting some offense together, putting some defense together. He didn't run around the ring. You know, he kept his back off the ropes for the most part. I mean, what I saw was brilliant, man.
He held a lot. Manny Pacquiao
didn't do a lot to you know, with his free hand. So it was like if he accepted the clinch, that's on him. And even if Floyd did hold, what was happening when he wasn't holding? What was happening when they were in the center of the ring? What was Manny Pacquiao doing?
They weren't in the center of the ring because Floyd was on his bike bouncing off the ropes.
Oh, come on. Hey, come on.
Oh, come on. Stop. Stop. Come on, Vic. Come on. Stop it. Stop it. You going to buy into that? Come on. Give me a break. Give me a break.
Listen. I admitted the man won the fight.
Can I please speak?
You're about to speak. I'm about to get to your introduction. Calm down. You know, you're like, good Lord, Vince McMahon, calm down. You're fired. But the deal is, for me,
you're in denial. It's obvious you're in denial.
I am not in denial. What
I got him, Jerry.
You are.
Manny Pacquiao.
I got him, Jerry.
Manny Pacquiao versus Pac-Man. Is that Pac-Man did try. He did try to make it an exciting fight. He failed at it. He failed at it because he couldn't hit him. He could not hit him. And that's what happened. Now, I'm going to let Mike Knox give his words, and we're going to move away from this and talk about the Curtin Alvarez fight.
Well, first, I want to say thank you, guys. It's been a while since I've actually been on you guys on the show together. Jerry, known you guys for a while. In my opinion, you guys are some of the most, you know, influential guys out there as far as blog talk is concerned. I think we kind of all started around the same time. I know you guys are still going strong. I'm still going strong, so I respect it a lot. Today is the 1,000th episode of BDSR Network platforms that we put out there. And I want to thank you guys. You guys have been on my shows. I've been on your guys' shows. So I want to thank you guys for that. Tonight's fight.
You're welcome, brothers.
I can't wait to see that fight tonight. I cannot wait to see Canelo and Kirkland. Just to say that, because I'm going to stick around. I got to go to a little league baseball game. I got to go coach too soon. So I was getting off work when you posted the thing, so I was able to call in also. So let me just point out some few things before I give my opinion. 145 punches thrown by Floyd Mayweather, 429 by Pacquiao. Floyd hit him 148 times. He hit Floyd 81 times. Yet they say Floyd ran around the whole entire fight. Floyd was on his bicycle the whole entire fight. Floyd held the entire fight. Let me just tell you where the perception of boxing changed. The perception of boxing started to change, I think it was 05. Help me out, guys. You know you guys are more experts in when he fought Oscar De La Hoya. When the world began to actually hate the guy who was then known as Pretty Boy Floyd, who changed his name to Floyd Money Mayweather. Where all of a sudden, UFC emerged. UFC became to overthrow boxing at that early stages, and the world decided to say, CompuBox numbers don't matter anymore. It's about the aggression I see in the ring. So all of a sudden, what had been the stable point for boxing for decades, which was punches thrown versus power punches landed versus those kind of CompuBox numbers, changed because the world, for some reason, thought that Oscar De La Hoya, who does not get picked on for tranny hookers and things along those lines, but yet everybody wants to villainize Floyd Mayweather. Now, I don't condone what he's done. I'm not here to speak about what he's done. What I'm going to speak about what he's done is, and for everybody who has something to say about what he's done, is to say, the El shall not throw the first stone. And I am not God, and nobody else is here God. But his personal life is his personal life. His business he took care in the ring, for the fans to say, I wasted $100, guess what? I spent $100 and I was excited. I stood on my feet for the first 6 rounds. What his father in that corner was saying to him was the same thing I said, that if it's anywhere semi-close, because of all the points I just made, and Manny is aggressive, which you saw in 2 rounds, the 4th and the 6th only, they're going to try to say he was winning that fight because he was throwing punches and bunches that only hit shoulders, elbows, knees, and toes, as the song goes. This man, for 6 years, I told people, would not be a good challenge for Floyd Mayweather because Floyd Money Mayweather was not the fault of this fight. He has not ever changed anything about his game, and he will not change anything about his game. No one had a problem with Roy Jones before Roy got knocked out. Got any excuses now, Roy? Roy was a very defensive fighter. Yes, he was more offensive than Floyd. He was bigger, taller, stronger than Floyd was also. I've seen Pernell Whitaker fight. I've seen all the greats fight in my time. I never got to see Ali fight in this prime, but I saw tape. But for those who say he held during the fight, I remember plenty of fights where Ali used his length to hold opponents at bay. That's all Floyd did. But Floyd got people, they hate him so much. They hate Floyd so much that what's clearly before people's eyes, they refuse to see it. Because all they see is the man saying, I'm going to go spend some money on some strippers, get me some fried chicken, cornbread, and Kool-Aid, and go have a party. But instead, they want to put their hopes and dreams on the person they should be blaming, is Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao, who sold everybody Wolf tickets by saying, I can beat this man, and this is how I'm going to beat this man. He then says, I'm hurt in the ring. Oh, I got hurt before the match. So, oh, you let the media, the world, everybody wants to be mad at Floyd should be mad at Manny because Manny lied.
Preach
Manny
it.
The one who
Preach
acted
it.
Like he was the one who was Mahatma Gandhi and said there was nothing
Preach
wrong
it.
With me. He gets in the ring. I'm at the experience of Stephen A. Smith and saying, and I said this myself before Stephen A. said it, but he's on a bigger platform than us for right now, that if he hurt himself, he hurt himself missing 300 and something odd punches that were thrown. Because I had a torn bridge in the I couldn't throw a baseball. So how you going
to
throw punches and bunches? No, because there's a difference between being, as a media personality, which you are and I am, it is our job to be objective and to tell the people the truth, not what the people want to hear. The truth of the matter is I've seen the fight four times. And for four times, the same way he beat Marcus Madonna's ass, the same way he beat everybody else's ass, 48 have tried and 48 have failed because they cannot get to the Rubik's Cube or the Da Vinci Code that is Floyd Money Mayweather.
Okay.
That's right.
Hashtag
preach it.
The story, bottom line.
Senator from Delaware, your time is up. Thank you. Senator from Delaware. Okay.
Listen, no changes in my future.
Listen, I'm not, again, before we go any further on this Kirkland and Alvarez fight, I'm going to have the last word on this one. Listen, ladies and gentlemen that are listening out there, Mike is right. We are objective. We do this for a living. I am not in any way, shape, or form bashing Floyd Mayweather.
Sure you are. Sure you are.
I know, Vic. It seems like you're low-key doing it, though, man.
I'm going to mute everybody because that's what I do. Now, listen. What I am saying is, he won the fight the way he planned it out. I'm not knocking that. My only real beef is if you're going to call yourself the best ever.
They say that.
Show me something other than a defensive fight. Show me something that says he has skills. He has the skills. Whether he chooses to use them or not, you know, that's his decision. That's what he does. Great. He didn't have
Hey, Vic, back to your question. Back to your question.
Wait a minute. Let me finish this thought. And I'll let you ask the question. In my opinion, after the ninth round, he didn't have to, you know, sluggering like that because he started to just, you know, outpoint him. But to me, from one through eight, it was pretty close. I gave him at least 3 to 4 rounds. Now,
Whoa.
Within that.
Oh, stop. Are you kidding me?
I had it 118.
Come on.
I predicted 116, 111.
I'm going to tell you why. Because of what you said, Mike, and you made a very good point, and I wanted to jump in, but you kept going. The perception of fighting, mixed martial arts, and boxing. Got it.
But that's not the rule, though. But
no,
that's not the rule.
Exactly.
Dana White always says, if you don't want to go to the judge's decision, then prove it. If not, you can't get mad at a fighter for fighting within the rules.
But Mike, the aggressive nature of a fighter, the person I would say, I'm not going to say the stalker of in the ring, but if you have one fighter that's constantly chasing down another fighter,
Mayweather is under the same umbrella that we pick on LeBron James for. LeBron James is one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen before our eyes. But the fact, even I, who can't stand him and what he did last night, is why we as athletes, as sports people who have been watching sports our whole life, while we love Muhammad Ali, while we love Michael Jordan, they had a killer instinct that these guys don't have today. These guys don't have that today. But that, you know, but the point I'm making is that today's athlete suffers from the historian fan. But when the new guy, the guys who can't, you're watching people today. Then my question was is this. In football, defense wins championships. But in boxing, it's a problem. If I love to watch baseball. Baseball is my favorite sport. I'm going to go coach right now. Nolan Ryan's fastball was great. Nolan Ryan pitching no-hitter, people say it was amazing. But when Floyd pitched a no-hitter, they say, oh, he was on his bicycle. The man punched him way more times than he got punched. But yet he still was the one who was running. That's what I don't get. I can see if Pacquiao lost the fight and he threw the punches that landed and they said, oh, they didn't hit him because he hit shoulders. Even more to Oscar De La Hoya's point. But this right here, it's clear. It was from the first round. My fear was that Floyd comes out slow every fight. And if he comes out slow, he's in trouble. He came out pop, 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 pop. And they still said he was running.
Yeah, and he was more aggressive than we've seen him.
I just don't get it. Jab after jab, after one, two.
That's a good point, and that's what I was trying to get to with rounds 9 through 12. In those rounds, I guess he had listened to his father. His father wanted him packed down. He was talking to him like that. And Floyd, in rounds 9 through 12, he did throw a lot more, and he did become more aggressive, and he did win. Oh, we just lost Mike. I'm not sure what happened, but we just lost Mike. But he did do some of these things that were showing, yes, I'm going to win this fight. I'm not going to leave any doubt. Got it. But leading up to those rounds, what I saw was a lot of holding, headlocks. When Manny was hitting him, he got out of it. There was some where... And Floyd even said this. He wanted to see how Manny's power was, decided he was going to trade. He said it. And he said he didn't want to do that. After he felt, he said he didn't want to do that. And, being a defensive fighter, guys, if you feel the guy's punches and they're starting to nip you a little bit, starting to hurt you a little bit, and you say,
Victor?
No, I'm not going to take that risk, that's fine. But,
Victor.
Wait a minute. Because we got to get to Alvarez and Franklin, but
Kirkland.
I'm gonna give the devil his due. He won the fight. He did it in his style, not the style that all the spectators wanted to see. That's the point. We didn't get, or people that wanted to see a fight, didn't get what they wanted because that's not what Floyd was willing to give.
Well, let me ask you something, Victor. Do you want to know the total punch count and the percentage of connecting?
He already did. Mike already went through that. I'm fine with the punch count. I'm not worried about that.
The percentage. Pacquiao only connected on 19% of his punches, and the same amount of punches. Wait a minute. Now I'm gonna run this down because I think you're using perspective. If you think this wasn't an actual fight, Mayweather had 433 total punches and Pacquiao had 429. Mayweather landed 148 punches, Pacquiao landed only 81, which comes out to 34% of the punches that Floyd threw, which is more than Pacquiao threw. And Pacquiao only landed 19%. So when you say it was a boring fight and Floyd Mayweather was on his bicycle,
I didn't
sadly
say it was
mistaken,
a boring
my
fight.
Friend.
You did say
Floyd was on his bicycle when it's clearly he threw more punches than Pacquiao and he landed at a higher percentage than Pacquiao. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Listen, if you have four rounds where you're dominating those rounds, those numbers, those punch stats add up. Now, again,
Wow.
I did not say that the fight was boring. It was not exciting to the point that I feel as though, you know, it can rank up there in one of the best fights, or quote unquote the fight of the century, whatever the case may be, because we already knew it wasn't going to be a Gotti Ward type fight. People wanted a Gotti Ward type fight. I wanted a Gotti Ward type fight. However, I knew that Floyd wasn't going to get in there and bang with him. I was hoping he would at least, you know, exchange with him head up. But that wasn't his plan.
Let me break this down a little bit more then for you, Victor. Because you're sadly mistaken there.
I want to go to Kirkland Canelo. We need to go to Kirkland
Floyd
Canelo. We're losing time.
We will. You said you wanted a more exciting fight where he landed more punches. Let me put it this way. You want more of an exchange. Floyd, power punches, total power punches by the two of these guys. Floyd threw 168 power punches. Manny threw 200. Floyd landed 81 of his power punches.
I don't
Manny
care.
Manny 48%.
I think I know what happened.
Go ahead, Clarence.
48. I think it was the final result that has you feeling like Floyd wasn't exciting, because Floyd landed some flush shots. I mean, perfect shots. Now, had he knocked Manny out with those shots, I think, you know, you probably would say that Floyd was exciting. But because it went the distance, maybe you're saying that he ran. Because Bernard Hopkins and Trinidad, nobody downplays Bernard's performance against Trinidad. And that wasn't too much different than Floyd's performance against Pacquiao. Only Bernard scored the first round knockout.
I'm glad you brought that Hopkins-Trinidad fight. Because, as you say, it wasn't that much of a difference. And it wasn't a very entertaining fight between those two. Now, I'm not saying Floyd needed to knock Pacquiao out or Pacquiao needed to knock Floyd out. What I'm saying is, for my entertainment value, okay, fine. If he connects on 48% of his punches, power punches, whatever they are, that's fine. Put him away. If you know that you are tagging him, and you, which he was, in my opinion, from 9 through 12.
Sometimes that doesn't happen, Victor. Sometimes
people were looking
for something that wasn't going to be there. You're laying on the premise that if he's such a dominant fighter, he's supposed to knock him out, and that doesn't always happen. So don't lay on that.
No. Just like you said, if almost half of your power punches are connecting, as you pointed out, almost half of your power punches
that doesn't
are connecting, you can do it if you choose to.
No,
the point I was making is this.
But the point I was making is this, and see, you're laying on that, so that's the backhanded stuff that you're giving Floyd. What I'm saying is this.
Yes, you are.
The point I was making is this. He was landing more punches than Manny at a higher percentage, and just because he didn't knock him out, that's a fatal flaw in your eyes of Floyd Mayweather,
I didn't say it's a fatal flaw. What I'm saying is, from 9 through 12, he decisively won those rounds by, you know, peppering Pac, because I guess he listened to his father thinking that the fight was close. Okay. From 1 through 8, he resorted to a lot of running, holding, hitting in spurts, and Pac, in my opinion,
He stole at least half of those rounds. You're in denial.
Any of the rounds.
You know,
it's
I,
naturally,
I,
the pack
I had told,
is,
I,
it's un is under the level of Floyd. You know? And it showed, in my opinion. It showed from 9 to 12. It showed from 9 to 12 that Floyd was the more dominant fighter. If those were from rounds 1 through 12, I'd be like, yeah, okay, you proved a point. You proved you don't need to hold your grabs and rush, because if you can pop shot this guy like this in rounds 9 through 12, and you still got all this energy. Half your face is swollen from the shots you took, but you still landed some crucial blows to pack. Where was this in the first eight? And yet, I understand that Floyd is a slow starter. I got it. And he figures out it's a chess game. It's a chess game. He figures out his opponent and what they're trying to do to him, so on and so forth. But at the same time, when you have the skill level.
See, you won't give him. You refuse to give him his just due. You got to find flaw. I'm listening to you, Victor. You refuse to give him his just due. You got to find a fatal flaw in order for you to accept what he did.
I don't.
And keep in mind, we are talking about Manny Pacquiao.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
We are talking about the number 2 pound for pound fighter in the world. You wanted Floyd to knock him out just because he was able to land on him? I mean, only one person did that in the last 18 years, man. Like, Floyd, he didn't knock him out, it's like...
I'm not saying just because he didn't knock him out. If Pac is the number 2 pound-for-pound fighter, and Floyd did that to the number 2 pound-for-pound fighter in the world, right? If he beat him like that, he could have done a lot worse to say, you don't even belong in my class. It is what it is. Again... I didn't want to get into a long, drawn-out debate about this because I knew what was going to happen. But it's interesting radio. I personally – put it this way, fellas, and we can end it on this.
You're in denial.
No, listen. This is what I'm saying, and I'm going to end it on this. If Floyd had not said out of his mouth that he's the greatest of all time, he's better than Muhammad Ali, he's better than Sugar Ray Robinson, and all these other guys, I would not have a problem with his performance. I would not have a problem with what he did with Pacquiao. But to say that you are better than those gentlemen, even though here's his one a statement after the fight was, because somebody said, do you still think you're better than him? He said, I give all respect to those men, but I am the best fighter ever. Okay, that's fine. In your mind, that's what you are. Prior to that statement, he kept saying he was better than them. He would say, yeah, they're good and all, but I am the best. So
yeah, I do agree with you on that.
So had he not opened his mouth and made those comments like that, me and a bunch of other people wouldn't be saying, okay, well, he didn't perform like the best ever. He performed extremely well, but not like the best ever. Not better than some of those guys that came before him, in my opinion.
Let me ask you something. The fighters you named always gave you a superior performance every fight.
You expected a knockout, a very
exciting fight. But you just called him the best. He said if he landed all those fights, he should have knocked him out. Am I not right what you just said that?
Jerry. Did you not just hear what I said, though? Had he not built himself as the best of all time, better than all these other greats,
Did he win?
Oh my God!
He won. Jerry, he won the fight. He won the fight.
He won the fight the way he knows how. He won the fight the way he knows how. But you are not better than these other guys who won fights in different ways.
exactly.
who won fights in different ways, not the exact same way, which is fine.
Each
it's a good blueprint.
Fight is,
it's a good
each
blueprint.
Fight is different.
But
each fight is different, and you find a way to win in each fight.
Yeah, but all of his are won the same way. So whatever, let's move on. We spent 45 minutes on a week old fight. You just couldn't wait. I'm glad you didn't come on Thursday because you and my cousin, I would have hung up on both of y'all. Jesus. All right. Let's move to a fight that a lot of people, me included, believe will be 10 times better than what we saw last weekend. Canelo Alvarez steps in the ring to take on James Franklin, who's been out of the ring for about a year and a half. But James Franklin is a, you know, he's a boxer that can slug. Canelo is a slugger who's learning how to box. Now, is it the bloodlust that every spectator or every fan has that wants to see a knockdown, drag-em-out fight? It could be. It could be. But since I got Clarence on the line and boxing and MMA is his thing, and we don't have Mike on the line, and our guy, Black, on the line to discuss, I'm going to let Clarence bring up this fight and tell us about it. And then, Jerry, you're the old head boxing fan, jump in and follow up, and I'll back clean up. Clarence, by all means, the floor is yours.
All right. With Canelo and Kirkland, man, I think that this is one of those can't-miss fights, man. With Canelo, you have a guy that he's a skilled boxer, but that Mexican in him, you know, he has that propensity to get in the trenches and trade. You know, even with guys that were skilled boxers, Lara and Trout, those are guys that he looked to trade with, even though he was able to box with guys. So, you know, I see maybe the first two or three rounds, he may outbox Kirkland. But there are going to be moments where he's going to start, you know, trading with him. And that's Kirkland's thing, man. That's Kirkland's claim to fame. And I think that's Kirkland's only chance is when Canelo goes to engage with him. That's the only time he's going to be able to get him. And I think that Canelo, he's going to be more than willing to oblige by that. And we're just going to see how tough Canelo is, man, because I strongly believe in Kirkland at that weight, his endurance. I believe he could take a punch, even though he was dropped by Angulo. You know, but he shook it off. He got dropped by Ishida, you know. But I think that was because, you know, his trainer, whoa, wow, that brings me to another point. He doesn't even have Ann Wolf. So now I feel like I got to retract everything I said. Canelo. I'm going with Canelo. I just remember, man. I'm thinking all the time, yeah, Wolf. He doesn't have her, man. So I don't even know what we're going to see, man. But, you know, if James Kirkland can bring some of that Ann Wolf to the fight, you know, then we're going to have an exciting fight, and Kirkland has a strong chance of winning. If he's the Kirkland that, you know, I guess wants to do what he wants to do, then I don't think, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to, you know, stand up to Canelo, because I think Ann Wolf does something for Kirkland mentally, keeps him tough, keeps that warrior going in him where he's nonstop. So when she's away, I don't know what we're going to see out of him. Now that I just remembered about that. But Canelo, we're going to see the same Canelo, man. Combination sharp, fast hands. I'm not sure if he can take a punch. I don't think he's ever been knocked down before, but I'm not sure how he's going to fare against a power punch.
Okay. All right, JC.
All right. This fight I'm definitely looking forward to. These guys are, they don't take a back step. Let me put it that way. It's forward, full speed ahead. So I'm looking for these guys to stand in the middle of the ring and go at each other and may the better man win. Both these guys are going to try to go for the big punch. You know, this in my opinion, Kirkland and Canelo, you know, I would think it's going to be the guy who quite naturally who lands that fatal punch to put the other one down. Because Canelo is a Mexican, I shouldn't say even though he's a Mexican. So most Mexican fighters are standing right in front of you, and like Clarence was saying, like to trade punches with you. Give me your best shot because I'm going to give you mine, and we're going to be standing in the middle of the ring. And Kirkland is not going to take a back step either. So you got to see who's going to be able to withstand the other's punches. And I think Canelo is the more powerful, the most powerful puncher. And I have to go with Clarence. I think Canelo is going to put Kirkland down because in order to defeat a power puncher, especially a Hispanic puncher, you got to be able to move and stick. You can't stand in front of them because a lot of them have a solid chin and willing to take a punch to give one or two. So I'm thinking it's Canelo, but I wouldn't be surprised if Kirkland won this fight either.
Well, I'll tell you, gentlemen, looking at the 24/7 specials on HBO, to me, maybe it's just me, Canelo doesn't look too worried about him. He's focused, but I don't think he has the same focus like he had for Floyd. He lost the Floyd fight. He tried to make Floyd fight him, but that was part of his game plan and stuff like that. I don't think that aggression is there for Franklin, like he had for Floyd. Now, Franklin, in my opinion, is one of those fighters that he was once upon a time riding to the top. You know, taking a year and a half off and stepping back into the ring against an opponent like Canelo Alvarez, that's very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. We're going to see if Canelo has a chin, because I'm quite sure part of Franklin's strategy is to put him down, not, you know, run and hold him and hug him all fight long, but to hit him.
There we go. The backhanded slap.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about boxing. Jeez.
We owe that backhanded slap. You know what I'm talking about, Victor. Go ahead.
I don't know what you're talking about, brother, but he's going to go in there. And for me, honestly, if these boys think it's close in any way, shape, or form, the last three rounds might be epic as far as slugging. I don't know how much head movement is going to go into this fight. I don't know how much angles will be taken in this fight, but I do know it's going to be a fight. It's going to start off as a boxing match and end up as a fight. I guess I'm going to be a lone wolf. I'm probably wrong. I know I did it. I'm going to be the lone wolf here. I'm going to be lone wolf here and call for a Franklin upset. I think it's going to come down to a split decision. I'm going to call it. Yes, I'm sorry. Kirkland, not Franklin. I don't know why I'm thinking about Franklin.
Yes.
But
Kirkland, I don't know.
Kirkland wins by split decision. Maybe a little controversial, but I think it's going to be that type of fight that is going to be way more interesting than, you know, anything coming up in the near future. Can you come, Jim? You are not a superhero.
No, I can't.
You can't see the future. You cannot see the future. At any rate, I hope you guys watch. It's going to be tonight on HBO. You'll get to see Snorefest. I mean, now that was a backhanded comment. Snorefest 2015, prior to the Canelo fight. If they're smart, they'll play that before they HBO, that is. They'll play that before they play the Canelo Alvarez Kirkland fight. But I guarantee you, if it is a really good fight, sportscasters all over are going to compare last week to this week. Is it fair? Maybe not. But we'll see what happens. Again, I'm going to go for the upset. I think Canelo will pull this out, but I'm officially making my pick Franklin.
So, all right, ladies,
Kirkland.
Thank you.
So you're picking Kirkland by decision.
I'm picking Kirkland. I'm picking Kirkland with a split decision.
Oh, man, I never thought I would hear Kirkland and decision in the same sentence, man.
Well, I think he's going to he's going to go. Listen, after a year and a half off, you got a lot of time to review your style and review, you know, how you are as a fighter and gain more insight on how to last.
But that's the thing. We don't even know how Kirkland looks after eight rounds, man. You know, so.
Right.
That's going to be interesting.
But
I think the first eight is going to be much more telling than the last four.
I can agree. Well, if it's a close fight, the last four.
Somebody get knocked out.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. That you know what? If that happens, it happens. But at least these guys are going to be in there, you know, mano a mano. And yes, it's very barbaric and da 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 da. But boxing is that type of sport. It's a sweet science that some are very good at, and a lot of guys get in it because they're good at fighting, and they win belts and they get money. And you know, they get a lot of winners and so on.
You're
and so
a funny
forth.
Guy. You're a funny guy, Victor.
But
you're a funny guy.
But you know, we
back
sell.
In the slap
you sell.
All over the place. That's okay.
No, I am not. You sell out arenas and you sell pay per view buys with exciting fighters, or you sell it through hyping fights. That's what happens. We get a lot of fights that are. And I'm not just talking about Floyd versus Pac, I'm talking about in general. We get a lot of fights that are hyped, and when it happens, it's boring. But then you get the Mickey Ward Gotti, which was never really hyped up at all. I'm talking about Ward Gotti 1, but that turned into a bloodbath. Then you got the hype for 2, and it paid through. Then you had the hype and expectation for 3, and it paid through. So, you know, you look at those types of fights. And without that Gotti, and this is my opinion, guys, without that Gotti trilogy, Ward would be just another good fighter.
I agree.
He wouldn't have the movies. He wouldn't have had the movie, you know, made about him and his brother with Christian Bale playing his brother and all that. He wouldn't have had the stardom or gone down in boxing lore and history as, you know, what he is now. I really don't think so. I think Mickey Ward would have been another solid fighter in that era, in that weight class, had that trilogy not happened. And Gotti, he was a fighter. You know, family name. He's a Gotti boy. Really, a real Gotti boy. So he had that, and he was a slugger. He would have went down because he's going to give you your money's worth every time. But, you know, that's that. Again, we're about to get off this subject. We're going to take one quick break. Clarence, I hope you're still on the line with us.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk about the NFL. Mainly, I'm going to start off with the top 100. 3 receivers and 1 kicker in the bottom half or the bottom 90 from 99 or from 100 to 91. And 2 of those receivers, I would have said, they belong a lot higher. The last receiver at 91, well, he leads into Brady Gate. We'll talk about that when we come back, get your thoughts and your perspectives on it. It's Saturday. It's the FSP show. It's me, it's your boy, FSP, along with JTH and Money. And we got a special guest, Clarence Otis Nixon, sitting on the line with us. And I always do that to you, brother. Junior.
So I'll be sure.
Just stick and stay with me. It's your boy, FSP. We'll be back in a minute.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features 2 men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on The Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's The Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, The Master Plan. Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's me, Mr. Jefferson, along with JTH and Money. In our chat room, we got Black the Bookie Monster, right? He's listening, man. He put a mean face up. I guess he's upset with what I was saying about his boy, Floyd. And we're going to bring some of his comments in if he decides to chat it up a little bit in there. But right now, let's talk about some of this NFL stuff. First, on my slate of topics, is Mr. Dante Fowler Jr. Not one snap in the NFL. Has not signed a contract. First play of his practice, torn ACL, gone for the entire season. Number 3 pick overall, gone.
Happens.
Clarence, well, let me get Clarence, then you, and let's see if Black puts anything in the chat room. Clarence, your thoughts on Mr. Fowler's situation, along with how does this affect the Jaguars?
Well, I think it's like my man said, it happens. It's very unfortunate, you know. You know, this is one of the first times I can remember off the top of my head this happening in the NFL, but I think in the NBA, something like this happened with Greg Oden, I think, where he had to forfeit his rookie season. But it's just a sad thing, man. You know, hopefully he can bounce back from it, and it doesn't deter his potential. You know, but like my man said, it happens, man. And as far as the Jaguars, I don't know. I mean, it ain't like they can get much worse, so I don't know if they're even going to miss him.
All right, JT.
Okay. Like I said, it happens. Unfortunately, it happened to my first-round pick last year with Clowney. These top picks, they get hurt. It happens. I mean, you're anticipating the skill level of this guy to jump on the field with you, meaning the Dante Fowler. And within the first hour of his first rookie practice, he gets hurt. So it's a clean break, so it's just his ACL. And I hate to say it just like that, but it is just his ACL. There's no other ligament other than that. He's young. Hopefully he'll recover and come back. Most times guys don't tear the same ACL most of the time. Once they get it done, it, and if he's able to recover completely back physically, and the big thing is mentally, then he should be able to have a very good year going into 2016. When it comes to the Jaguars, well, they were counting on this guy to provide a serious pass rush. Now they have to look who may be out there that may be getting cut from another team. Or look internally with the undrafted free agents that they have with some other veterans that they may step up to take the spot. They drafted Dante Fowler for a reason, because they had a need. Now they have to look in other directions and see if they can have someone that picks up the slack.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a blow to the Jaguars, especially with Gus Bradley just giddy about signing somebody that wanted to become a Jaguar. Matter of fact, Fowler said if he goes past number three in the draft, or if he went past number three in the draft, that was going to be a problem. Now, when you have a player that wants to go to a franchise that's in dire straits, that is an impactful player, but gets hurt like this, it's very devastating. Now, it's very similar to what Adrian Peterson went through, even though we all look back to Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles when they tore their ACLs and came back and had monster years. But then the following season, RG3 and someone else, I think Cliff Averill, does the same thing, and both have subpar, if not terrible, years. I don't know the expectation for Fowler. He's coming straight out of college, so he's young. He's an explosive player. So what I mean by that is get off is what makes him so good. Having to redo that ACL and recondition his body, I don't know how it's going to affect his explosiveness when he comes back. But best of luck to him. I think the Jaguars made some very smart moves, and they will not be the cellar dwellers in the AFC South this year. I really don't think so. Jerry's not going to like who I think is going to be down there, but I don't care if Jerry doesn't like it, because the truth hurts. I really think the cellar dwellers are going to be the Texans, not really addressing their quarterback situation. They got a very good receiver in Strong. I don't see them doing too well. But we're not doing draft grades right now. Ha ha. So.
Well, there's where you're wrong. But when you say they haven't addressed the quarterback issue, I keep on saying this, people are non-believers. But they will see what I was talking about when all the so-called experts will be surprised on who emerges as the quarterback.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's what's going to happen. Just as a side note, sidebar, beginning in June, we're going to start our annual division wrap-ups. So just because Jerry has a surprise for you, we're going to start the first weekend in June covering the AFC South. Get your popcorn ready. That's what's going to happen. So, moving forward to the veterans and stuff of the NFL, the top 100 came out. The bottom 100 through 91 were the first release. Number 100, in my opinion, is ludicrous and a smack in the face. But Mr. Cobb, out of Green Bay, number 100? Are you smoking weed?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy. Then you have Emmanuel Sanders, number 95. You're smoking again. Adam Vinatieri at 97. Okay. But you got him above Calais Campbell.
That's crazy. That's crazy. How could Adam Vinatieri be above Randall Cobb? Give me a break.
Hey, well, we're about to talk about it. And at number 91, your boy Joe Flacco was number 95, I believe. But at 90, number 97, okay. Number 91 was Julian Edelman. We're going to save Julian for last because we're going to lead right into his buddy, Mr. I didn't have anything, no knowledge of it. You're lying, golden boy. Your reaction, gentlemen, I'm sorry with you, Jerry, then Clarence, on these three receivers being in the bottom part of this 100 and Randall Cobb and Emmanuel Sanders being 194 or 96, whatever his number was.
Jerry, floor is yours.
I don't know if he's getting penalized because Aaron Rodgers is his quarterback, but Randall Cobb, you can use him in a backfield. You can use him as a wide receiver and a punt returner. How the heck? And he excels at all three positions. So him being number 100, the very last, to me, that baffles my mind. The skill set this guy is. You have Jordy Nelson as a number one wide receiver, when it quite easily could be Randall Cobb, without a doubt. He's got more versatility than Jordy Nelson, and I'm not discounting Jordy Nelson and his talent, but in my opinion, Randall Cobb is better than and it may be a bold statement, but Randall Cobb is a better talent and football player than Jordy Nelson on that team. And case in point, they couldn't wait to re-sign this guy because they wanted to keep it together. And Aaron Rodgers has a very good comfort level with Randall Cobb. Emmanuel Sanders, he scored what? I know maybe because the same factor, because of the quarterback and not the skill level of the wide receiver. Well, he excelled when he had a chance in Pittsburgh, and he stepped it up. He stepped up his game when he went to Denver. And he was basically a greater part of the season, Peyton Manning's go-to guy. Julian Edelman, now that's Tom Brady's go-to guy. Very reliable wide receiver, and there's no way any of these three wide receivers should be this far now. Maybe middle of the pack in the 100. Or above, but to be 100, 95, and 91 respectively, that's insane. And have a kicker ahead of Randall Cobb, 98. Who's making this list up? I know it's supposed to be the players, but I can't believe the players would have voted Randall Cobb two spots below the kicker and Adam Vinatieri. That's all I got to say.
It is what it is, Jay. Clarence, you're up.
Yeah, I think that what's happening is that there's some type of entitlement going on. They're probably making room for more established players when the list is supposed to be the top players of 2015. We're probably going to see a lot of players that are ranked higher based on their prestige, based on their career, as opposed to based on that year. Because when I look at it, it's like, you know, like my man said, Vinatieri above Randall Cobb, it's like, you know, I don't even see that. But if I was to, you know what I'm saying, judge them on their careers, I would be like, of course he would be above him. And maybe they're just trying to find ways to put these guys on the list of the 100 players, and this is the best that they could probably do, given the popularity contest is probably going on. Because I mean, I'm looking at it like, wow, man. Like I didn't even get to watch a lot of their games, you know, given the market that I'm in. But I remember these guys being impactful on their teams, you know. So it's just like, wow, to have them at the bottom 10. Like, you know, I don't agree with that. I would love to see, you know, who's in the top 60, the top 70. You know, that's just wild to me.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's why I wanted to talk about the receivers, because if these three men, as Jerry said, were the go-to guys for these quarterbacks, and they're at the very bottom of the list, what receivers are then the top? Because I'm going to tell you, and Jerry, I don't care how mad you get, if your boy Hopkins is above either one of these three or in the list at all, now that these three receivers are at the bottom, there's a problem. There is a problem, but
I would have to agree with you, Victor.
Okay, thank you. Let's talk then about Julian Edelman and his impact on the Patriots, and particularly the second half of the AFC Championship game, where he caught a lot of passes from the fleet to the balls. I'm just saying.
You talking about the sponge balls that he caught?
Yeah, the sponge. There you go. The sponge balls that he caught. So the report comes out, gentlemen, that more likely than not, or more probable than not, careful wording, that's what they're doing, trying to protect Tom Brady yet again. Let that be AP. Let that be, you know, Russell Wilson or something like that. And it's not going to be probable than not. We strongly believe that it was, not more probable than not, that Tom Brady had knowledge of the deflated balls based upon the text messages that the equipment guy received from Tom Brady in reference to the situation. And in typical fashion, Tom Brady, he had an event at Salem State up in Boston, Mass, or Massachusetts, and you know, Jim Gray, who I thought was going to go a little harder than he did, but his first question was, what is your response to, you know, the report? And Brady said, well, I haven't had time to really look at it. I need to take some time to look at it and really read it and understand it, da-da-da-da-da. But right now, I don't want to talk about it, da-da-da-da-da. And, of course, his agent says it's an attack on Tom and the Colts and the league teamed up against him. Well, Jim Gray fired back with, well, how long can it, I mean, should it take you to read this? And to that, he laughed off. And being in Boston, Mass, or in Massachusetts, of course, pro-Brady fans, pro-Patriots fans, they're clapping at everything Tom says, and they, you know, will drink his bath water and all that other mess. So you didn't have a non-biased area, strictly biased. So what I want to get from you guys is your thoughts on Tom Brady, not on the game, not on the game, but if you believe he lied or not about the knowledge about the footballs. Clarence, you up first, then Jerry.
Well, I watched a clip of Drew Brees. I believe it was Drew Brees testing out. It might not have been Drew Brees. It was some quarterback that was testing out footballs, and they were telling him or asking him if he could tell which ones were underinflated and which ones were inflated. And he was able to, you know what I'm saying, do it with accuracy. So for Tom Brady to say that he had no knowledge of it, with him being a quarterback that passes, that handles the ball so much, throws the ball 30, 35 times a game, for him to say that he had no knowledge of it, it's just, I think that's absurd, man. And, you know, it seems like, you know, not to the same extent, but I get the Lance Armstrong feeling, man, where he's so protected. The media is protecting him. He does so much for that market. Does so much for being the face of the NFL to some extent, and they just doing all they can to protect him. And, you know, it may not be this year, it may not be next year, but, you know, eventually I think a lot of that stuff is just going to come out, and he's going to be exposed, you know, because, you know, I don't agree with that. Whatever that advantage may have been or was or wasn't, the fact that the balls are underinflated, that says that, you know, that's cheating like that, you know. And I believe he had knowledge of it. You're not going to tell me that you're throwing the ball, you know, that many times, and you're not going to be like, hold up, man, something wrong with this. Unless it's not working for you. But since it was working for him, he kept using it, you know. I think he's swelling, man. I think he's swelling. I think he knew about it.
All right.
All right, you know.
Same thing. And if you feel like Clarence, what do you think the punishment should be?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm thinking, let me put it this way, because, and the reason I want to say this is because I'm thinking of the fudge factor. When I say that, it's because quite naturally, whatever comes down, he's going to appeal it. And if he's going to appeal it, I'm thinking that the arbitrator is probably going to knock it down close to half of whatever it is. So I'm going to say six games, and it'll probably turn out to be about three. So I'm thinking six games because this is not the first or last time. Because when it first came out, he said, I like the balls a certain way, and but I don't have anything to do with that. All I do is tell I look over the balls. And this is his words. I look over the balls before the game and determine if this is the way I like my balls. Basically, that's what that basically, maybe not to exact verbiage, but that's what he said when this first came out. So I'm thinking he has definite knowledge of this. I'm thinking that he likes his balls a certain way, and the equipment manager makes sure that it's done like that. Plain and simple. And yes, he has something to do with it. And I'm thinking six games probably comes down to about three.
So here's the question then. You know, do you think he self-indicted him? Did he indict himself with those comments about how he likes the balls and stuff like that? Was that a, I'm telling on myself without realizing I'm telling on myself? Or, you know, was it just, hey, look, this is how we do it in practice. You know, Bill gives us messed up balls and tells us to do this, that, and the third. That's just the way it is.
No. I think just what I said, when it first came out, when it first was announced and it came out and he had a press conference, I forget exactly when it was, but it was very close to when it came out. He said, I like my balls a certain way. They bring me the balls before the game. I go through the balls and I like them a certain way. And then we go from there. I think he self-indicted himself. That, I mean, to me, that was quite obvious when he said that. I couldn't believe he said that because that's pretty much a self-indictment. But all this other 240-something page report said that, in essence, he lied. He did have something to do with it. He influenced what the equipment manager did with the balls. And I got to see if Goodell is going to punish the golden boy of the NFL and the one of the supporters of Goodell, talking about Robert Kraft of the Patriots. Now, more than likely, the Patriots won't suffer. Maybe. I think it's probably all be going on Tom Brady because supposedly it's just a Brady thing and not an organizational thing. But this is not the first time that the Patriots have been caught with their hand in the cookie jar, whether it be a coach, the organization, or a player.
I agree. Two-time offenders means bigger and worse punishments. I don't want to get too deep into it. We've only got like 5 minutes left in the show. But real quick, gentlemen, a very popular or not popular, but a highly rated player that dropped to the second round in the draft, went to the Dallas Cowboys, and he had a conditioning situation yesterday. He admitted that he was somewhat out of shape. Gentlemen, is Randy Gregory going to be – now, I know we're just basing it off of day one training camp, whatever, but is Randy Gregory going to be an issue for the Dallas Cowboys in the sense that he might not live up to the potential that he has been labeled to have? Jerry, then Clarence.
I think Randy Gregory would be fine. He got to get his conditioning back. I think he wants to add about 15 pounds to his frame, which I think he can. And I think he needs an organization to push him, and I think he's in the right spot. So hopefully you can talk about Collins, who also went to the Cowboys, but Randy Gregory, I think, will have no issue except to get back into condition. So,
okay.
That's it.
We can talk about Collins. Let's talk about Collins and say, I want to get Clarence's thoughts. And we'll go over to Collins before we end the show. Real quick, Clarence, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, with his height and weight, you know, I don't see why he would, you know, not be in peak shape or whatever. It's not like he's a lineman or something. But I'm a Redskins fan, so I'm kind of hoping for the worst, to be honest with you.
Hey, I feel you, brother. I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you. Well, you know, Redskins fans, peace and blessings, but, you know, you're wrong on Floyd. But
here we go.
Hey, he keep bringing it back, man.
Yes, he is. That's what I'm talking about. You're in denial.
I'm going to Liddell Collins now. Liddell Collins. He chooses the Dallas Cowboys. He gets a $1.7 million contract over 3 years. We all know that probably will get ripped up if Jerry Jones and the Cowboys feel that he outperformed it. Your thoughts on him picking the Cowboys over Buffalo, over Miami, and I forget the other two or three teams that tried to get him. Your thoughts on that real quick, Clarence.
I'm not even familiar with that, to be honest with you, man.
Okay.
It's a Cowboys stuff you're talking about, man.
I know, but it's a football thing as well, so we gotta put our feelings aside on this one. But Mr. Taylor, he came to visit in that area. You visited in that area. Tell me what you think.
Yes. Well, I think it's a coup for the Cowboys to get him as an undrafted free agent, and to get a first round talent. That I mean, and to go to the Cowboys, and the Cowboys just are going to get that much better on the offensive line. He's going to be a force. If he can land into one of those spots, he's going to be a force to, and that line quite naturally was outstanding last year. And this year, if they added him another first round talent with the other first round talents on that offensive line, I could, at 61 years old, could run behind that line. So, that's all I got to say. It's a great move for the Cowboys, and it's a great move for the kid to go to a contender, and I think the Cowboys are a contender. So
they suck. I mean, I shouldn't have said that, but
you're right. You shouldn't.
At any rate, smart move on the young man. He had the opportunity to pick where he wanted to go. Again, as I said, I believe that Jerry Jones is going to rip up that three-year deal at some point and give this and it'll be relatively quickly because I think they're going to insert him in the starting lineup at some point. Even though the offensive line is pretty daggone good as it is.
Yes, sir.
We'll see what happens. Real quick, Jerry, you got 30 seconds. What's happening tomorrow on the master plan?
Master plan. Talking about this Canelo Alvarez fight. Also talking about some John Jones. I want to talk about John Jones. We get a chance to talk about it today. I'm going to talk about John Jones tomorrow. Maybe some baseball. But I'm definitely talking about the Canelo fight. Hopefully, if someone tunes in to that and the John Jones and NBA final. I mean, playoffs. I'll be definitely talking about that.
All right, we didn't get to that today because people wanted to talk about a certain fight that happened a week ago. But it's okay.
That's right.
All I wanted to say is,
in fact, I say damn right.
Hey! I'm trying to close the show here. All right, so I want to thank Clarence and Mike for coming on. So, greatly appreciate it, along with my co-host, as always, JTH and Money, on point. Not really, but he's here for me, and he's my man. Check him out tomorrow on the Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We got to get out of here. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take
take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasies, sports, and politics.